I want to mention that Resurrection Seed, don't forget that's coming up on our Sunday Resurrection Service. I'm going to make it available to those online that we have a certain giving buttons. We're just going to change one of them to Resurrection Seed, and that's a chance to give to the Lord. We only take up two major offerings during the year besides our normal offerings, and this is New Year's Eve and Resurrection Seed, and there's miracles tied into it. I can't explain it other than God's involved in it. We've been doing this for years, so it's not a gimmick and anything else that you see out there. So, that's coming up. Amen. Great opportunities for giving to the Lord. Father, love you tonight. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross so Jesus gets all the praise, the honor, and the glory, because it's all about him. It's not about us, Father. It's about you. And so we love you. We settle in to teaching tonight. We ask for revelation knowledge. And come on, Holy Spirit, just lead us and guide us into all truth. And we thank you for that in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody say amen and amen. Brother Mike told me he got two salvations more this morning at the county jail. So that's 16 in the past week and at least over 100 this year already. Amen. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? He's awesome, man. Souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. And that's what you expect when a church is in revival. Let me try that again. That's what you expect when a church is in revival. And God's doing something in the lives of the people. And I wouldn't go to a dead, crusty old church. I just wouldn't, because my God's not dead. He's alive. He ain't old. He's awesome. And I don't know how people can go and say they need their daily bread and they go get a bunch of old, crusty bread. Amen? Give it to me fresh. Last time we got together on Kingdom Perspectives, we're talking about the battle for the mind. As I begin this new project, and take us down this road, the battle for the mind. By the way, please pray for those in London and all the craziness going over there. Just preached the message on Sunday called Critical Mass. We've reached that level. We've reached that level, the tipping point, and it's not just in America. It's around the world. And so pray for those that have lost family and just all that's going on over in that that region of the world, and pray that somehow God will get the glory out of it all. He can change it for his glory. So battle for the mind. Last time we got together, remember these the statement I gave you? I said, if I can change the way you think, I can change whether you win or lose in any given situation. And I had you change that and put the word I for yourself. If you can change the way you think or the way I think, you can win in any situation that it comes your way. Whether it's a win or lose situation, okay? Remember, this isn't Scientology. This isn't mind over matter. What this is understanding your position in Christ, understanding the Word of God, and understanding the power that you have. Remember the law first mentioned? In Genesis, God made everything with intelligent function and divine order. Everything has divine order. It has intelligent function. It does what it's supposed to do. Even in the chaotic world, guess what? The sun still shines. Those of you that hate mowing grass, guess what? It's spring. Them little yard onions are calling your name. Clip, come on, clip me, trim me. Next thing you know, it's going to be more and more in weeds and all that. Why? It's intelligent design. It knows what to do. Seasons come. Seasons go. They rotate. They continue in cycles. And God designed it that way so that life would be what it is. Is that right? And so we can guarantee the sun will rise tomorrow, no matter what our day looks like or our night tonight. Verse 11, remember I said, if there's no need to reprogram the earth, even in chaos, it still functions as created. We talked about what? Everything giving seed after its kind, it continued to produce. It still happens today. If you plant an orange seed, what happens? You get oranges. You don't get apples. Monsanto might think that's different, but on all these other crazy companies, but the regardless of that, the reality is this, that God said this is the seed and you are going to plant it and it's going to produce after its kind. Amen. So he said, let's make man. Remember the image, the Hebrew word for image is shade, in the shade or the likeness of God, not just in the physical formation of God, but in the intelligence and divine wisdom of God. You and I were created. Some of y'all looking at me, really? I can't believe the person sitting next to me, you're talking about them that way. But that's what the Bible says, the likeness and the image. And the reason for this particular word is because God gave them dominion. So what God did was he created Adam and he gave him his likeness and his ability to what? To rule, to have dominion. You and I were created to have dominion, not to be ruled over. We can be subject and be a servant, but we weren't designed to be ruled over and dominated to the point to where we are slaves. That was never in the character and the design of God for man. It was always to be volunteer. Is that right? That's why God will never make you do the right thing. Let me try that one more time. He will never make you do the right thing. He will lay the option before you. Choose this day, death or life, it's up to you. If you don't choose it, then you choose whatever. Whatever you choose, you choose. But God says, I give you the option here. We are free moral agents. You didn't know you was a secret agent, did you? But you're a free moral agent. You have the free moral agency within you to choose right and wrong. If you're committing wrong, you chose that. God didn't give you and tell you to do that. He gave you an option. Is that right? So he said, give them government. Man was always supposed to rule. He was supposed to have dominion. Remember, squeezing or stomping on a bug is not the highest form of dominion. The highest form of dominion is controlling yourself. The highest form of dominion is controlling yourself. You might want to write that down. That wasn't the last time's note. The highest form of dominion is controlling yourself. The appetites of your flesh, the appetites of your mind, and all the things that we think, the crazy stuff that we go through, we're supposed to have dominion over that. All right. So in Genesis chapter 2, we leave Genesis 1, we go into chapter 2, and we see a detailed version of the creation of man. And we know that God, he took and squeezed man into shape. Yastar is the name. Yastar is the Hebrew name, 3335. I didn't give this to you last time. But it means to be squeezed into shape. And then we know that he breathed into him. And you can find the rest of that, and you can find the great test that he was to go through. And Genesis 2, 19 through 20, where he brought all the animals to Adam, and he said, Adam, okay, I've given you dominion. Now, what do you call it? So we see the proof that God breathed the divine intelligence of who he was in the Trinity, because it says God created the heavens and the earth. Who was God? Elohim. Elohim is the plural form of God. So he's not singular. He is three in one. We believe in the Trinity. The Bible teaches it from the beginning. Jesus-only people and a bunch of other doctrines that are out there are all fallacies, because you just go to the beginning and you find out he's Elohim. And he said, let us make man in our image. Pretty easy for me. I'm a pretty simple guy. He's three in one. So he created Adam with that ability, and he gave him dominion. And we see the proof of that with him talking and speaking and declaring what the animals were. That was dominion right there, because he ruled over those animals. Remember this, when you have the power to name something, you have the power to rule over it. Some of y'all are still sleeping. When you're able to name something, put a name that sticks, then you have the ability to control that particular situation. You were born with the name that you have. Is that right? Some of y'all checking your license right now. That's the name mom and daddy gave you. Now, you can go to court and you can get it changed, but they had dominion over you. And as soon as you popped out or before you did, they said, that is, and that is. And so they named you and they claimed you and they put dominion over you. And so Adam had that divine ability, and the test was given him to him to do that. And he did it. But he failed in the part of his moral agency. Amen. And that's what brought us to this moment. So tonight, let's go to this teaching. I'm going to talk about, in the battle for the mind, the total man. I'm not going to get into the totality, the dissection of the total man in this teaching, but as we go on this journey together, we're going to learn about mankind and the design that God had for you and I. We were not designed to just exist. The most boring life any person can have, especially a lukewarm, backslidden Christian, is a life of existence saying they know God and love God, but they do nothing with it. The most fruitful life is for someone who's on fire with God, full of the Holy Ghost, and just loves life and does everything they can for the kingdom and just expects and waits and just desires to see the kingdom come. That's living to me. That's why I wouldn't go to a dead church. All right, so we're going to talk about the total man, spirit, soul, and body. I want you to write that down, spirit, soul, and body. We're going to begin with the soul, because in the beginning we talked about Adam, and I'm going to break this all down, but Adam being created, and then life being breathed into him. So keep that in your minds as we move forward. But I won't let the cat out of the bag just yet. But let me give you these few statements that I want to make, as I try to do in the beginning. Remember, soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Write that down. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That is the soulical part of humanity, the soulical part of man. Must understand, if you don't understand this teaching, then you really don't understand your existence as a human. You don't understand your existence as a believer. But you are a triune person. Triune person. You are three in one. You're triune. You were created in his image. Is that right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So you have spirit, soul, and body. And in the triune person, there are different categories of each thing that we're going to teach on. In fact, there's a lot more when it comes to the body, meaning your flesh, okay? So your mind, your will, and emotions, we are a triune. That's T-R-I-U-N-E, triune. Very important, because most Christians, most people live in two realms. They live in the flesh and the carnal mindset. They're soulical in nature. They have no spiritual connection to the things of God. They have no spiritual connection to God himself and to those around them. They just simply exist by flesh. They exist by their mindset. Okay? I'm going to prove that to you. And that's why we got such a problem in the church today with churches that are dead. That's why we have a problem in our nation with sin that's so rampant. It's not just the devil running around. It's just the church that's so carnal. Either we serve a big God and a little devil, or a big devil and a little God. I mean, how do you look at this thing? I look at this thing as Jehovah God. He's the creator of heaven and earth, and the earth is his footstool. Yeah, but people have it reversed, and they think that the devil is the one and that the earth is his footstool. No, no, God is in control. God is larger than all these things. So you're a triune. You must understand that, or you'll miss this whole teaching. All right, so number one, here's a few statements I want you to write down. We are to be led by the Spirit, but we are not to be mindless. We're to be led by the Spirit, but we're not to be mindless. Again, these are just foundational scriptures that I have to give to you, because the first time we got together, I just wanted to lay the foundation about creation and about everything that God had planned for Adam and how Adam lost it. Now we're going to see what was in creation, what was lost, and then we're going to discover how to regain it, okay? So the first thing I want to say is that we are what? We are led by the Spirit, but we are not to be mindless. I say that because so many times you go into churches, especially Pentecostal, charismatic, and everybody wants to be emotional, but most are brainless. You want to be emotional, but you're mindless. You check your mind in at the door. We've lost the ability to be critical thinkers today in America, especially in the American church, and we just allow any charlatan to stand before us and say anything they want to say without studying the Bible and using your mind to find out the answers. And you say, well, I'm just led by the Spirit. No, you were led by your emotions, and you never studied to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is that right? The word of God. And so that's a big problem today in the body of Christ. So the first thing I want to say, we are led by the Spirit, but we're not mindless. You ever talk to somebody? Let me see how I can do this. It seems like we get saved and we check our mind in at the door, and then we try to talk to somebody about salvation, and all we do is either we talk the Bible or we talk this or talk that. We never talk to them at their level. We never talk to them in practicality. We never try to talk about something other than the church. Do you understand what I'm getting at? In other words, if you're a person who has a mind of IT, for example, like Clay, brilliant guy, he should use, and he does, he uses that brain, that mindset for the kingdom of God, but he doesn't check it at the door. You can still use it in the world and lead people to Christ with your knowledge. Does that make sense? And I know I've met so many people that just totally, you know, it's all this spiritual, and they never come down to the understanding of using their mind as a tool that God gave them, okay? So don't be mindless. We're not to be mindless. We don't go around just floating as spiritual beings loving God. We have a mind, amen? Use it. Number two, our wills should be strong. Our wills should be strong, but without, our will should be strong, but they shouldn't be stubborn or rebellious towards God. So here it is again. Our wills should be strong, but they shouldn't be stubborn or rebellious towards God and His will. Again, we have a will. I'm talking about the soul. I'm breaking it down now. The mind, the will, the emotions. We have a will, and it should be strong. Did you know that the will of man is the closest thing to the sovereignty of God? God can say that I love you and I want you to go to heaven, but you can say no and damn yourself and go to hell. You just overrode God's will. Every day, men and women all around, you know, even in the church, they have a they act like God, and they act more sovereign than God by saying, I don't want to do what you want me to do. But Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. If not, I'm going to drink it. And he drank it, didn't he? He partook of his punishment. He partook of the sacrifice because he made it part of his will. And so that's a very powerful truth I just gave you. We can go home with that right now. We can head to Dairy Queen and go get us a hot fudge sundae because that's something to think about. And so many times when we say no to God, we say no to his sovereign will, and we combat against him, we confront him, and we're rebellious. And God says, you know what? I can't do anything with you, you hard-headed thing, until you finally become pliable and you become usable and you say, Father, thy will be done, not my will. Okay? So our wills need to be strong, but they don't need to be rebellious towards God. Number three, these are just foundational truths I want to give to you about your emotions. You can be emotional and not be spiritual, but you cannot be spiritual without being emotional. You can be emotional and not be spiritual. In other words, there's a lot of people in church, they hoop and holler, amen, everything about what the preacher says, and don't know nothing of what he says, and didn't do nothing Monday through Friday about anything he said. Just got up and down and shouted, gone to camp meeting, hollered till your voice was sore, and you're no different than when you went in the tent meeting. Wish I had a witness somewhere. You cannot be emotional and not be spiritual, but you cannot be spiritual without being emotional or having emotions. So when you're really into the things of God, you know, you do have emotions. So basically what I want you to understand is this. It's okay to have emotions. Some churches will act, you know, you can't act up in church. You can't have a good time. We're in trouble. Ignite is in trouble. If we can't laugh, we're out. I don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to figure something out. Amen. But that's not so. God wants you to be emotional. He wants you to be spiritual. He wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to laugh. He wants you to have a good time. And that's all part of being spiritual. So the mind, the will, and the emotions, we're going to go deeper into that. But that was my first foundational words I wanted to give to you. Remember this, our soul and our spirit are interconnected. Our soul and our spirit are interconnected. Okay? But our spirits must be made alive unto Christ. And they must be king of the triune person that we are, okay? So let me explain that just a little bit, and I'm going to give you some scriptures, and we'll go from there. So we know that Adam was created in the image of God, that says in the shade, the likeness, he received dominion, is that right? God gave him dominion. That dominion was on display when he spoke to the animals, and he named them, and he placed parameters upon them. And then he lost it. So Adam lost his God relationship. He lost that divine connection, and he went into the soulical realm of sin. He was carnal in his mindset. He no longer had that mind. He had no longer had that walk with God. And so when he lost that, he entered into the animal nature of the soul. As we watch humanity, Cain killed Abel, and as we see through the Tower of Babel and all these different aspects and stories, we can go through them all. We watch and we see the digression of man, and we see man constantly failing, constantly destroying one another, the flood, not on and on and on. These things took place because man has lost his communion with God, and he was carnal. So now, through Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get ahead of myself for a second, he brings us back to that relationship. But until then, those that are not born again, they walk around with the dictates of their flesh, of their mind, of the carnal animal nature, rather than the spiritual nature that God first gave them. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. I just want you to see a breakdown here of these two words and the view from God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. I know you're going to get there. But it says this, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever." But here's what I want you to see. "And I will raise him up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind." This is God's view. He said, according to my heart and according to my mind. So God has this ability to differentiate between his plans and the mindset. And he said, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that in the man. I'm looking for them to obey accordingly. So now go to 1 Chronicles. We just want to stop there for a second. And watch this. This is where we're going to teach from. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. I don't have my board up tonight, so I'm just going to spell these words out. And you can write them down and study them. All right, I'm going to lead you into this foundational truth. 1 Chronicles 28, 9. That's the Old Testament. Unless they've changed it. I don't know. I used to tell everybody the page. Page 574. Everybody look for the redback hymnals. All right. 1 Chronicles 28, 9. Watch this. You ready? "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the God of thy father," he said, "know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind." Here's the word for heart, L-E-B-A-B, Labiab, 3824, L-E-B-A-B, 3824, okay? The word there in the Hebrew is for understanding, to have an understanding heart, okay? Now, I'm going to show you how these things intertwine and show you how we got to get rid of our stinking thinking. That's where we're headed. We got to get our mind straight. We got to get the understanding of what God is wanting to say to us and what he wants us to do in life. So he wants a perfect heart and a willing mind. I'll read the whole thing. "For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of thoughts. If thou seek him, he'll be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off." For how long? Forever. So with a perfect heart, go back up, and a willing mind. Now the word mind there is nephesh. That's N-E-P-H-E-S-H. Nephesh. Okay? Spelling is always different than the pronunciation. It's just that's the way that is. 53:17. Anybody need me to repeat that? You got it? Okay, for the word mind there, nephesh, this is very powerful. Let me give you the definition. Okay? It means passion and desire, but it also means the seat of the appetites. The seat of the appetites. Now, I'm going to show you why that's so important. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God did what? He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a what? A living nephesh, a living soul. Remember I told you to hold on to that, Genesis 2, 7? That's why. So here in 1 Chronicles, we just pull this out, the scripture, to see another view of what God had designed man to be. So it says passion and desire, but it means the seat of the appetites. Your soul, my soul, the mind realm, the realm of our mind, is the seat of our appetite. And if you and I don't have this under control, then we're going to find ourselves being dictated by the soul and the body rather than the spirit. Most people are moved by appetite. I'm not just talking food now, but moved by appetite of the flesh and the carnal mind than they are of their spirit. And that's why you're making stupid mistakes. Let me get over here where this thing's bulletproof. I feel much safer. That's why I made all my stupid mistakes in my life, because I allowed the nephesh of my life, almost sounds like flesh, don't it? God has a funny way of putting things together. If you just watch it and look at it. Because I allowed the seed of my appetites, you allowed the seed of your appetites to dictate to you what you thought was best for you. Come on now. Remember Sunday? Wink, wink. Blondie, blondie. Brownie, brownie. Tanny, tanny. I had to throw that at John. I don't know. One thing you could say, Cindy, he can't lie. It wasn't working. Unless he's at the beach. People outside are like, what is he talking about? John's got a suntan because he's out there working in Georgia sun. Amen. But the seed of the appetite, it controlled us and it still controls people today, even in church. And we make bad decisions because we're being led by the carnality of our lives and by our flesh. When God says, I want to lead you by the Spirit. I want to lead you by faith. I want to lead you by the Word of God, not by the seed of your appetite, not by the soulical man who needs to be regenerated. Your mind needs to be regenerated. When you were born again, your spirit became unto life unto God, but your brain was still dead. Don't look at your neighbor. But there's a whole lot of brain dead people in the church. Still living in carnality. Still got a potty mouth. Help me, church. Still got craziness going on. Still got to dip. Still got to do this. Still got to hear this. Still got to have this. Because the seed of the appetite has not been directed towards God. The passion and desire of the heart has not been towards God. It is still in the animal nature of the nephesh. Whenever Adam fell, we are in that condition. That's why your mind must be renewed. Everybody. And every day you have your mind renewed. If not, we do the craziest things. Wouldn't we? Don't we? We do some stupid stuff. You ever done something at the end of the day, lay down in the bed and say, that was stupid? I mean, don't look at your spouse, but you just say, that was, watch out, that was stupid. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I allowed that person to manipulate me. I can't believe I went that far. I can't believe. Why? You allowed the seed of your appetite to be dictated by your flesh. Do you know, let me just explain this to you. Do you know that when you're hungry, your belly doesn't tell you what to eat? Try this sometime. I did this. It was a pretty cool test. Belly, what do you want to eat? Your belly doesn't tell you what you want to eat. Your belly just says, I'm hungry. You better feed me. You better put something inside of me or I'm going to get mad and fall over. Who dictates in your body what you want to eat? Your mind does, because your mind is the seed of your appetite. Now, that's just a natural analogy, because when I'm hungry, I'm thinking Snickers. I hear mom's back, the voice in the background, apples, bananas, peaches, cherries. But I hear the seed of my appetite saying, Twix. No, Twix, Milky Way, DQ. I mentioned that twice tonight. I better get something free from them. But your stomach don't know no different, because this is your body. Your body's just growling. It's just making all kinds of noises and grumblings and stirrings and all kinds of craziness. But it's your mind that's telling you that you need a 7-layer cake. And you just got done eating 30 minutes ago. It don't matter. Isn't that right? The key to a great diet is having the proper mindset. Oh, y'all ain't listening to me tonight. Take this now into the realm of our lives and carnality and people who are tripping up and making mistakes out there. Listen, I have no condemnation for anybody. If you're flipping and you're trying, man, and you're making mistakes and you're cracking your head on the floor of life, I want to help pick you up. But if you don't apply this truth, you'll never, never succeed. You'll never become who you're supposed to be, because you're allowing the seed of the appetite, your soulical man, to dictate your life. That's good preaching right there. That's Sunday morning stuff right there. I didn't even holler. I didn't even strip a gear on that one. But the reality is this. It happens all the time. I counsel people all the time, and they just make bonehead decisions. You ever heard that before? Bonehead? Bonehead decisions, because you didn't go to the Word of God. You didn't go to the Holy Ghost. You allowed your flesh to dictate what you wanted it to do, or what it wanted to do, and you'll lose every time. Come on now. Your flesh didn't, you know, in the natural, your flesh don't want to sit in the church. In your flesh, you had other stuff to do. Is that right? For the most part. I had something else to do. But your spirit man has to override and take control. So let's look at that again. It's the passion and desire, but it's also the seat of the appetites. The seat of the appetites, the solical man. So nephesh is very important to see. When Adam was created and God gave him that ability, it was anointed. It had unction. It had life. It had God's mindset. It had God's dominion. It had all the things that God created man to have. But think about this. When Adam sinned, he became a child of the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're acting just like your father, the devil, and the father's work, and you'll do the same works that he does. Is that right? So when we're unsaved, we're not born again, our mind is an operation in teamwork with the enemy. Isn't that right? That's like I said on Sunday. Honey, when I woke up in the morning when I wasn't saved, I planned my day out how I was going to sin. It was already laid out. It was done. I knew it. And then when I got to the end of that night, I was planning the next night. Then I was planning Thursday's bonfire. And then I was, y'all better help me now. And then JoJo showed up at the lounge, and then we decided we're going to go do this. And next thing, you know, y'all act like you're angels, and I'm the only sinner in the camp. But you know what I'm talking about. And your mind set it all up, and your heart planned it all out, and you went out and did the thing. Why? It's because of the seat of the appetite. That's why we have to have our solical man, our mind, our will, and our emotions under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, the majority of your problems and the majority of my problems are right here from the neck up. I'm telling you, from finances to weight loss to relationships to just about anything you can imagine in life, if we would get the mind of Christ, we would be victorious. I didn't say a Bentley in everybody's yard and the stupid stuff that goes out there about prosperity, because I'm going to tell you, the greatest prosperity is to know that you are doing right with God when you go to bed and wake up in the morning in peace. Buddy, that's $1 million right there. That's $1 million. To know that I'm not in sin, to know that I'm not committing purposely, to know that I'm not harming anybody, and I'm not against God. That's a great feeling, don't you think? All right, so let's go on. So he said, a perfect heart and a willing mind. My nephesh, my appetite is towards God. I'm willing to obey. Will I make mistakes? Yeah. Am I in the flesh? Yeah. Am I going to, you know, should I eat cranberries, but I decided Cadbury? Some of y'all catch that? It's coming up, Easter time, Cadbury. Everybody go get the bunny. Did you hear a couple of years ago they ruined that egg thing? They're not putting the right chocolate in it this year or something. I don't know. How depressing. But the point is, come on now, that's part of life. You're going to do that. You know, you pull up to the drive-thru and you look at a salad and you say, okay, I'll get that salad and then a Diet Coke and then that Big Mac. You know, before you know it, you got a four-course meal. You started out right, but you ended wrong. You get my point, right? For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations. All the imaginations. Here's the word. It is yester. Y-E-T-S-E-R. Yester. It's pronounced yester, but it's Y-E-T-S-E-R. 3336. 3336. Look that up. Nephesh was 53:15. And I gave you the word for Lebab 38:24. You got those? So yester, that's Y-E-T-S-E-R. It means the devices, the plans, the intentions, okay? But check this out. It also means the framework, the analogy of pottery, and a graven image. So the imaginations, I don't have a long time to teach on this, and I don't know if I'm going to teach on it this particular time about the mind, but the imaginations are so powerful of a human. And imaginations are little used so little in Christian life because we're afraid to tap into the imagination. The imagination is very divine. It's very powerful because out of the imagination comes inventions. You're sitting on inventions right now in your mind you don't even know about. Your whole future and design that God has for you is locked away in your imaginations, but you're too afraid to allow his own spirit to describe it for you. And it almost seems too wonderful. But you're sitting and you're standing and you're a part of this fellowship right here that was imagined a long time ago. And the imaginations, when they come from God, they're divine and they will come to pass in the matter of time. So the imaginations, he said, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations, all the carvings, all the devices, the plans, the intention, the pottery, if you will, of the mind of man. Now watch, this is very important before we get into the next time, getting together with teaching. You and I both, all of us listening, we have the ability for God to show us our future. We have the ability for God to place within our hearts his plan for our life. He can teach us and lead us into divine direction and destiny through the power of imagination, through the power of having our seat of appetite submitted to him and allowing his divine influence. That's why he looked to Solomon. This is who we're talking about right here. And this great transfer of power between Solomon and David, God says, I need to know that I can place within the carvings, in the very framework of your imagination, I need to know that those will be channels of my good and of my word. Are you here today? See, if God can get you to see your future, you can have it. This isn't hocus pocus. This isn't some type of a mystic understanding. This is Bible. And we don't operate in the imaginations enough. We don't operate in the thinking that God has given us. But we need to. Okay? So then he says this. He says the imaginations of the thoughts. So it's a tie-in. It's not just imaginations. It has to deal with the thoughts. What are your thoughts? Your thoughts are usually past, present, and future. Is that right? Most people who think in their past will stay there. Let me try that again. Most who think in the past will stay there. You need to be present-minded, but forward-thinking. Let me say that again. You need to be present-minded and forward-thinking. Okay? So he said, I'm talking to you. I'm looking at the imaginations of the thoughts. Now, the word thoughts, I'm going to spell this out for you, is M-A-C-H-A-S-H-A-V-A-H. M-A-C-H, Mac, A-S-H, Ash, A-V-A-H, Ava, Mac Ashava. Okay? And that is 4284 if you're going to dive deeper into this study. And that means the intentions, the purpose, and the plan. The intentions, the purpose, and the plan. So he's looking at Solomon, and he says it again. Verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, a nephesh, an appetite that's willing towards God. Is that what it says? For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts, the intents, the purposes, and the plans. In other words, Solomon, you can't fool me. I know what's in your heart. I know what's in your mind. And the beginning for healing for all of us in this room is to admit what our mind is full of and what our mind is about and what we think of. And submit that mind to God and say, God, my mind is not where it needs to be with you. The seat of my appetite is not right. I think on the wrong things. I desire the wrong things. I'm pursuing the wrong things. You can have a heart that loves God and a head that's far from him. Let me try that again. There are people who have a heart that love God, but their head is so far from Him. So they say that they love, but in true reality, you really don't love if you don't follow through. You ever been around somebody who made a major, major mistake in life, and they said, well, I just love God, but I continue to struggle? Because your mind's messed up. Your mind is messed up. The seat of your appetite has been replaced by you being the Lord over it through the Holy Spirit to allowing the devil to take over. And we make mistakes in our flesh. That isn't the license to sin and say, okay. What it is a stop. It's a stop block. It's something to stop it and bring healing and to clog it up and to clean it and get that mind straight. And we're going to talk about this in the next few teachings about this mind that we have and how we can get this thing fixed. We got to get it fixed in the church. We got to get it fixed in our lives, in our marriages, in our families and relationships, because it's taking us down. And not only that, we need to be ready for what's coming in the last days. Is that right? Okay, so let me add these few last thoughts to you. Let me give you these two words, because we're gonna hammer this here over the next little time that I teach this. And again, you just got to come in Wednesday. You don't know what I'm going to do, okay? I mean, we can just change up whatever God tells me to do. But I want you to write the word down, pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. And I just want you to write man and then write pneuma. And then underneath pneuma, I want you to write human spirit. Pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. Okay? The Greek word for spirit. And the next one I want you to write down is psuche, next to that. So you got man, you have pneuma, the human spirit. And then I want you to write psuche, and that's P-S-U-C-H-E. P-S-U-C-H-E, psuche. And I want you to write under that, the human mind, okay? Or the human soul. Again, the soul is made up of the mind, will, and emotions. And then what I'm going to do as we go through this teaching is break down the pneuma of man, the psuche of man, and then the flesh of man, and look at the different intentions and different characteristics of man, and the different characteristics of the psuche and of the spirit of man, and see how we're supposed to walk, because we're out of order. We're walking wrong. That's why we got pastors fornicating like rabbits. I wish I had somebody say amen, whether you like that statement or not. We've got it going on in the church. They're changing wives like you change shoes. There's all kinds of craziness going on in houses in the church of God. Divorce is at an all-time high in the church. Come on now. Craziness is happening. And I can't speak for the world. The world's crazy. The world's just ridiculous. They flipped a lid a long time ago. But the church is so messed up, so jacked up, so backwards, because we don't have our minds straight. We don't have the mind of Christ. We have a 6-foot icicle standing up teaching and preaching every Sunday doctrines of devils, telling us we can live with one another, do what we want to do, fornicate, and every other thing that we're doing, and saying there's no consequences for our sin, and our mind is leading us into bondage. Anyways, that's good preaching for Sunday. But the reality is the truth, all right? So I love you. I hope that's been a blessing to you. Father, we thank you so much for the word tonight. Help us to have the mind of Christ, and we're going to get into that. But God, help us, the seed of our appetites. I asked everybody to pray that tonight, that we would just have Christ Jesus, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, sit down on that throne of our lives, that our appetites would be controlled. The lust of our flesh, Lord God, the things that we want, that we're so desirous of, and it's not good, it's not right for us, that you would help us make that decision by the Holy Ghost not to do it, to not take the forbidden fruit, to not look on the fruit of another, to not steal, to not kill, destroy. All those things, Father, we should walk by faith and by the Spirit of God. For those listening tonight on various platforms, I pray that you would help my brother, my sister who's struggling. I know there's some real issues in the mind today. I know there's some real battles. And Father, I know that if the enemy can control our mind, He will control our destiny. And I break that now in the name of Jesus. Over those who are struggling, listen to me right now. Be free in your mind. Be free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, may these next time of teaching, may they just be a delivering moment for those who need to be delivered from this power of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey,